The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer-Kent this morning. And in July, deadly flooding along the Mississippi River swept through St. Louis and eastern Kentucky. In October, river levels reached historic lows outside of Memphis, Tennessee. And these are the extremes that we were told we could expect by the scientists who study such things. And now that they're here, what can we expect next? What can we do to mitigate the damage? And without the flow of the Mississippi, what's to become of our agricultural economy? Join our conversation by calling us this morning with your thoughts at 1-800-642-1234. Your questions as well. You can always email us ideas at WPR.org. Our guest this morning is Dennis Toddy, director of the USDA Midwest Climate Hub. And Dennis, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
All right. And I appreciate you joining us because I'm curious about how conditions on the river are varying from the upper Mississippi along the Wisconsin border to further south near Tennessee and Arkansas.
Well, you get a wide range of conditions. The background of this all is widespread dryness and drought across the central part of the U.S. The upper part of the Mississippi is low, but not as bad as it is what we call the lower Mississippi. And the lower Mississippi is, below Cairo, Illinois, where the Ohio River comes in. And that's kind of our problem right now is the Ohio River is low along with the Mississippi, as well as the other rivers that come into the Mississippi. So the lower Mississippi is at a very critical situation right now with very low flows and limiting some of the barge traffic along there because of this widespread dryness. Upper Mississippi is not as bad, but it's still in lower levels also. So we're at a situation where this widespread drought and dryness really is leading us to a situation of needing more rainfall soon for us to be able to keep the Mississippi River open and traffic moving along it.
And historically speaking, put this in context with what we've seen along the Mississippi in the past.
From recent history, the last two comparisons in recent memory would be in the major drought in 2012. We had limited traffic at that point. The situation on the lower Mississippi is more the problem right now. Back in 2012, the problem was more between Missouri and Illinois, where there are some areas of rock that they were able to get rid of and move some traffic there. The other one was back in 1988, where we had also had widespread drought. Three times in the last 45 years that we've seen something on this order.
And how long can we expect this to last, Dennis? What does the USDA Midwest Climate Hub know about the length of this drought?
Well, and that's, I guess, that there's two parts to this question. One, you have the widespread dryness that's leading to this. The other part is the time of year. We're in the fall and early winter. If you look at what happens in the way of climate, this is a lower flow time of year anyway, because our peak times of precipitation and runoff will be in the spring, because in the spring you've got snow melt from the farther north areas, like Wisconsin and the northern plains, hopefully. So that leads to additional runoff. Plus you have more spring rainfalls that is typically falling on either frozen ground or ground that is already wet, that's had soil moisture recharge in it. So that's leading to more runoff. By this time of year, soils tend to be drier because we're late in the year, less precipitation, and then crops, other plants that grow, take water out of the soil, so they dry the soil out. So you've got the background, what usually happens in climate, and then you have the major drought that we've had going on for this year or up to 2 years, even in the situation out in the plains, or somewhat longer. So that combination has left us with really needing a lot of moisture. Okay, back to your original question. How long can this last? We're probably going to continue to have some low flow issues throughout the winter. There is some level of optimism looking at the outlooks right now that we could ease a little bit, but it's probably going to be pretty dicey until the spring. And the reason why we think there's some level of optimism, even your forecast talked about some chances for precipitation. the winter outlook overall has some increased chances for precipitation in the eastern Corn Belt, the eastern part of the Midwest that drains into the Ohio River. So that would likely mean some additional rainfall, get some more flow in the Ohio, and that leads to the Mississippi. But the area further to the west and further to the north, we'll have to wait until spring before we start getting a lot of help in the way of runoff there, because as we get into winter, we don't get as much rainfall. We tend to get more snowfall and the water that will sit there until it melts in the springtime. We can get rain in the winter, and that would be beneficial too. But really, we need lots of rainfall and lots of snowfall. We don't want to wish a bad winter on anyone, but a big snowfall winter in northern areas would be a great benefit for this. So looks like, and there's some level for optimism right now that the river is they're going to be able to keep it moving along. But for this fully to resolve, it's probably going to be late winter, early spring by the time we start seeing a lot of improvement here.
We're talking about some of the record low water levels we're seeing on the Mississippi River and how it's affecting the Wisconsin and the Midwest with Dennis Totte, director of the USDA Midwest Climate Hub. And if you're along the Mississippi, join us with what you see this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. What does this mean for our farmers, Dennis, whether it's in the fields or whether it's taking their crops to market? How does this impact our agricultural economy?
Well, you've got a twofold thing going on, because there's what goes out and then what comes back up. And so the first part is the Mississippi River is a major transport area of crops out. Corn and soybeans going to export. The expert part is not part of what we usually do, so I can't give you numbers, but it is a major way of getting corn and soybeans out. And when you limit the amount of barges going downriver, or you limit the amount you can put in barges, which is what they've been doing so far, that doesn't allow more of that crop for export. And producers then end up losing some money on this because there's more cost for transport and they can't necessarily transport when they want to. So there's a loss of income from that standpoint. So that's what's going out. The other part is what's coming back up the river. There's fertilizer and some other things that are shipped upriver that have to be put on in the spring. So, you're starting to get transport of fertilizer and other things to have in place by the time we get around towards spring applications. There's really not much more application that's going to happen this time of year. So we have some time until the spring, but it limits the amount we can get upriver. This is a problem we have sometimes when we have major flooding is they're still trying to get things upriver for spring fertilizer applications. And those are limited sometimes. The offside now is we're limiting that barge traffic to be able to get those transported upriver into our areas. Just a quick sidelight that people may not realize, there's also another impact with tourism, not as much in the upper river, but the lower part of the river, that there are tourist boats that go along the river. They've had to adapt, shift, move around, whatever. Something I didn't realize, but I've learned as we've been dealing with this issue over the last several months.
And Dennis, when we talk about the need for more precipitation to renew the water levels along the Mississippi, why are extreme rain events or some flooding that we've seen not helpful?
Well, you pointed out correctly that we did have a couple major events around St. Louis and eastern Kentucky. Those did end up in the river. The problem was, if you look around around the whole Mississippi River Basin, which goes all the way from the Appalachians to the Rockies and throughout the plains, that whole area was dry to severe drought this year. So you have a couple small areas that had heavy rainfalls while the rest of the area has very little rainfall and contributes very little towards the runoff in the region. So, it's kind of like you have your house is on fire, but you have a garden hose that you're spraying on it. It helps a little bit, but it doesn't fix the whole problem.
We're exploring how recent changes to the Mississippi River are affecting Wisconsin and beyond with Dennis Totte, director director of the USDA Midwest Climate Hub. We invite you to the conversation by calling us with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the mighty Mississippi? And when we continue, we'll take a look at what can be done to mitigate the drought that we're seeing today. What can we do when we're in these climate changes? I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. This is The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're focusing in on the Mississippi River this morning with our guest, Dennis Toddy, director of the USDA Midwest Climate Hub. And we invite your questions about the river's low water levels at 1-800-642-1234 and the ripple effects we can see throughout our backyard. You can also email us ideas at WPR.org. And Dennis, last month, mayors and towns along the Mississippi asked for more federal help as low water levels on the river continued. What can be done to prevent these water levels from reaching this low, if anything?
You know, it's an interesting thing you talk about of, you know, how do we deal with this? You look at the whole Mississippi River system, and then we include, you know, ones that flow into it. And, you know, the Mississippi River and the Ohio River, the main tributary for both, have dams on them. But those dams are not for holding back major amounts of water to be released whenever you want to mitigate dry conditions. Basically, they are there to maintain a river level that is supportive of navigation. Now, there are a couple tributaries. The Tennessee River does have some dams on it, and when conditions reached a critical point, they were able to release some water from the Tennessee River system to be able to you know, get I think they got back about a foot of water in the Mississippi. The Mississippi River, or the Missouri River system, which drains from the Northern Plains, the upper Rockies to the Northern Plains, also has some dams along it. But they are, you know, by directive, managed completely separately for their own purposes. So they can hold some water back and release some water, but that's only for Missouri River systems. And if you look at the larger aspect, there's not a whole lot they can fix on the Mississippi because of the amount of water that comes from the Missouri. So you are asking a great question that I'm not sure we have an answer for. We know that that droughts do happen on the Mississippi River, and we can kind of work around them when they do. Fortunately, they're not that frequent. But, drought is one of the things that we are concerned about looking ahead, that is a concern for us, that more frequent droughts could be a problem. In addition to, you know, more bigger rainfall events, like you mentioned earlier, there's also an issue that, that we could have bigger floods and then, bigger dryness along with that. And that's a real problem if you're looking on the shipping aspect. You know, we can move some of those products via rail or other methods, but it's more effective, and we've built our system around transporting on the Mississippi River more frequently, expecting that it's always going to be there and available to us.
Let's go to your questions now at 1-800-642-1234, where Dina joins us near Keeler. Dina, you're on the air with Dennis Toddy from the USDA Midwest Climate Hub.
Hi, Dennis. Thank you for letting me join you. I didn't listen to the rest of the program, just caught a tiny bit of it as I was driving, so I stopped. I'm a marathon canoe racer. I basically live on the edge of the Mississippi River and spend anywhere between 10 to 30 hours a week paddling on the river and its tributaries. What I've observed, and I have a question about, is anybody looking or studying how changes in, for example, agricultural tiling and urban runoff is affecting the actual river level, i.e., we're running water off so quickly into the river systems, it doesn't have time to filter down and travel through the underground aquifer-type systems and springs into the river. And I've certainly noticed very low water levels. For example, the Viking ship, that's a new ship, had trouble getting up and down the river this summer. And there are places that we normally paddle in the backwaters that we couldn't even paddle in because they completely dried up this summer. So that's my question.
Thank you so much, Dina. I appreciate you being our eyes along the Mississippi for us this morning. Dennis, agriculture tiling, the urban runoff, and as you mentioned, the tourism and that importance in the Mississippi.
Yeah, she hit all the points. I think she was listening earlier. You know, what happens in the way of tiling is an additional complexity to this whole situation. The addition of more tiling, and what we're talking about here is adding pipes essentially to agricultural fields, are a result of what we've seen overall, which is increasing rainfall or more water on the soil. And that is a method of trying to move that water more quickly off the soil and make it more available for agricultural production. There is an advantage to this when you are excessively wet. Say if we had, we had very wet conditions right now and trying to get water off the soils to be able to get it dry sooner, it actually provides some benefit to reduce flooding because, if you're wet in the fall, you move some of that water during a lower flow time in the fall, there's less water that has to be moved in the spring. So it actually is a benefit that way. Can it add to the drought conditions? It can by moving more of that water away. But the situation we're seeing right now is so widespread and some of the deficits are so large that the tiling is not a major aspect to this at this point. We just have had so much, had so much dryness. Wisconsin has been somewhat lucky in that it hasn't been as bad in some of the areas. Not too far away, the Twin Cities area has been kind of a ground zero this year with some of the severity of it. That people are doing work on that, trying to study that. And there's also discussions about how tiling can be used in conjunction with, things like, can we hold some of that water somewhere and reintroduce it when you have dry conditions later in the year? So there is work being done on that.
Dennis Toddy, our guest, director of the USDA Midwest Climate Hub. And Dina, thank you so much for the call. One of the ramifications here I hadn't thought of until I saw you quoted in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Dennis, is the how dry conditions could lead to waterline breaks and pipes breaking in northern states like Wisconsin. Explain that.
Okay, what you have happening is, part of dryness is that you have very dry soils. Crops and other plants that grow have removed a lot of water from the soil as they've grown through the year. More has evaporated, so you have very dry soils. As we get cold in the wintertime, particularly if you get lots of cold early and before you have snow cover, that freezes the soil, and it can freeze the soil very deep. Because dry soils will allow, because water has a high heat content, it's harder to warm up, it's harder to cool down, but we have very dry soils that frost depth can go very deep into the soil. And what that leads to is we can have waterline breaks. So I would expect to see more waterline breaks around the upper Midwest this year. These are water main kinds of things, or potentially frozen water lines overall. If you have a water line that's not buried deep enough, or in some cases, even if it's buried deep enough, the frost depths may be bad enough that this can be a problem. We had a problem with this back in 2014, where we had a similar situation, dry soils going into the fall, got very cold in the winter, and we need to have sustained, pretty persistent cold. Moderate cold is not too big an issue, but that's something people should keep an eye on and watch throughout the year, because I think this we may see more of this than we're hoping for.
Is there a bigger picture story here? I've seen about the Colorado River. I've seen stories about the Rhine in Europe. Is there a concern about our freshwater streams globally, nationally, beyond the Mississippi?
Certainly there is. Trying to connect the Colorado and the Mississippi, that's one of the ideas that is tossed out fairly regularly for the desert Southwest as well. We'll just figure out a way to get water from the Mississippi over there. Well, okay, when the Mississippi is low, that can be a problem also. But that's, there are a number of issues with what we call cross basin transport, transporting water from the Mississippi basin to the Colorado basin. This is also an issue in the way of climate changes, in the way of more pervasive droughts, and situations where we have lack of precipitation like we've seen, in addition to higher what we call evapotranspiration, where you have a lack of rainfall, but then warmer temperatures leads to more water withdrawn and used from the soil, and that combination leads to worsening of the dry conditions. So this is something we are concerned about as potentially seeing more frequently in larger areas, and especially some of these areas. Yeah, you're right about Europe. You know, typically rivers that we expect to see water in on a regular basis, this could be happening more frequently. So it is a concern and something we need to take seriously.
Hey, Dennis, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Happy to do it.
Dennis Toddy is director of the USDA Midwest Climate Hub. Coming up next, we have Your Wisconsin Life after the news, and then WPR's Danielle Kading joins us to bring us the very latest in what's next in Line 5, Enbridge's Line 5 that runs through northern Wisconsin. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.